Good evening. This Shabbos is Parshas Chayesara, and it's also Shabbos Mevarchin Kislev, which means we are already hearing the word Chanukah, especially that this Shabbos is the 25th of Mar Cheshvan. Chof Hei Mar Cheshvan is this Shabbos, and we know 30 days prior to a Yom Tov, we begin the preparations for the Yom Tov, and the Oireis, the Hashpa of the Yom Tov already begins. Now, although the Gemara in Psachim Da'avav and Megillah Chavtes in various places, the Gemara says, Shloshim Yoim Kaidem HaPesach, Shoyal and Vedarshan Behilchas HaPesach, because the 30-year period, the 30-year time period of preparing really is for Pesach. And some Pesachim say, Sukkot and Shavuos as well, but no one says anything about preparing for Hanukkah and Purim 30 days in advance, because in halachically, this halacha of Shoyal and Vedarshan is really for Pesach and for those Yomim Tovim that have many, many halachas that you can't start doing it a day before. So we have 30 days before. We learn it out from a pasuk in Ba'aloischa, where it's referring to Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So really, it's only for the Yomim Tovim, where there are many, many halachas, specifically those Yomim Tovim that are the Eraisa. Nevertheless, the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that before any Yom Tov, even Chanukah and Purim, that are not mid the Eraisa, 30 days prior, we begin preparing for that Yom Tov. And especially that this Shabbos is already Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev. Chanukah, as we spoke in previous years, many, many times, Chanukah is the Yom Tov that we sort of have a repeat of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. The Bnei Yisachar and the Svarim HaKadosh, they talk about Chanukah, they tell us Matis Yahu is the Gematria Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is the Chasima, and Chanukah is the Gemar HaChasima. Chanukah is the extension of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, Keneged Parei HaChag, according to Beis Shammai, we light an Eiros, Poichas in V'Hoichon, Keneged Parei HaChag. There are many, many, perhaps in the next few weeks, we'll mention some of them, many, many connections that the Svarim HaKadoshim revealed to us, especially in the later generations, especially with the arrival of the Baal Shem Tov, the Talmidov, and the Mekubalim, those who learn Pnimius HaTorah, that Chanukah is a hemshech of what we experienced in Elul and Tishrei. Chanukah is a time for tshuva, for those who didn't yet get it. For those who still didn't do tshuva, if there is such a thing, and obviously there is such a thing, that despite that we already had time, we had Chodesh Elul, we had the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we had Hoshana Rabbah, nevertheless, there are those who need more time. There are neshamas that find themselves in very, very difficult situations in different places and different times. They have to come on to another level of tshuva. And Chanukah is that Yom Tov we can make up and do tshuva for not doing a proper tshuva during the 58 days that we spoke about already as we entered Mar Cheshvan, which the Tzvilat Tzadik says, Mar Cheshvan is Oisius Roishem Nun Ches. The 58 days of Elul and Tishrei combined, Elul Tishrei combined is 58. And in Mar Cheshvan, we can see whether or not what we did during those 58 days were productive, and sometimes it's not. So we now have a Yom Tov of Chanukah. We have now another opportunity to do tshuva again, or at least to do tshuva for the lack of tshuva, or for that, or for the tshuva that was done during the 58 days that perhaps wasn't the way it should have been. And that could be the reason why we know that the Gemara talks about Chanukah, and the expression the Gemara uses is Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. The HaMahadrin and HaMahadrin, they light, everyone lights a Nair. Mahadrin and HaMahadrin is Begematria Tshuva. And Mahadr, besides meaning beautify in Aramaic, Hadri means remorse. Hadri be, they had remorse, they retracted. That's Tshuva. So Mahadrin, min HaMahadrin is tshuva after tshuva. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of tshuva that comes after the time for tshuva. That Hashem gives us another time to make up. But if perhaps the tshuva that we did in Elul and Tishrei was not sufficient, the Nun Ches, the 58 days we didn't utilize properly. And Nun Ches is the Oisiyus Neir Chanukah, or Ches Neiros, where during the Yom Tov of Chanukah we can again make up for the 58 days, or on Chanukah we can accomplish that which we did in Elul and Tishrei. So Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev, which this Shabbos is, Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev, is a reminder to all that another level of tshuva is coming. And we could even do tshuva on Chanukah for that which perhaps Yom Kippur we weren't able to do tshuva for. Even Averis, that it says about those Averis that tshuva is very difficult, Chanukah, we can do tshuva for that too. And as mentioned in previous years, the Ner Chanukah is lit on the left side and below 10 Tfachim and outside and nighttime, all symbolizing those neshamas that find themselves on the left or below 10, on the ground, outside in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, in the second half of the month when the moon is in decrease mode. In fact, one of the days of Chanukah, you can't see the moon at all, total concealment. Teves, which is the month of Esav, darkness, Choshech, nevertheless, there's Or, there's light, which is the Oir Shel Melech HaMashiach, the Oir HaGonuz, which with the power of that light, we can do tshuva and we can be misakin ourselves no matter where we are. And the Yom Tov of Chanukah, therefore, was given last, the last of all the Yomim Tovim, for the latter generations, for those generations, at least the Ruchniyus part of it, the tshuva part of it, that perhaps Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shana Rabbah, Elul, Tishrei is not enough. So we have an extended grace period where we can still do tshuva and accomplish, even if we haven't yet. And since Chaye Sora, the parasha of Chaye Sora, is the parasha that takes us into Kislev, although it's still Mar Cheshvan, but it's Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev, we will focus tonight on something that I don't believe we really ever spoke about, and that is about tshuva and about how tshuva can help and how tshuva can transform. How powerful tshuva is. Tshuva is something that we're supposed to do every single day. As the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Shuv Yoyim Echad Lefnei Misascha. No one knows when that is. So therefore, tshuva is to be done every day. B'chol Eis Yihiyu V'Gadecha Levonim, as Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei. But there are certain times that it's very apropos. There are certain times that the tshuva is more acceptable. And as we enter the month of Kislev, not everyone views Kislev as another month of tshuva. But the Pnimius, the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that the Pnimius of Chanukah is another opportunity to do tshuva, and specifically for those neshamas that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur was not enough. So we find in our parasha a few, more than a few, but we can't focus on all of them tonight, difficulties, details that require some clarification. The bulk of the parasha, of Parashas Chaye Sora, is about the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka. And Eliezer's hishtadlus, Eliezer was the shadchan, Eliezer was the one who brought the two together, Yitzchak and Rivka. He was the shliach of Avraham Avinu to be Makadesh Rivka for Yitzchak. And most of the parasha is about that. And there's an obvious question that Rashi himself discusses. What seems to be the repetition over and over again, something which the Torah normally never does. We know that most of the Torah is written very bekitzer, harbet gufei Torah, like nitnu ela beremiza. So many halachas, very difficult halachas, very important halachas, we learn out from a letter, from a ribui, from a drush. And here the Torah is marich, unusual, in the story of Eliezer. Eliezer repeats everything that happened in all the details, with nothing left out. Why couldn't the Torah just tell us, after the story with Eliezer and how he met Rivka and everything else, he came, he met them, and he told them the story. That's it. Why is the story repeated all over again with all the details? And Rashi quotes Rav Acha, which is from the Medrash, Amar Rav Acha, from here we learn out, Yofe sichoson shel avdei ovois, lefnei amoka mitairoson shel bonim, that the plain idle talk, it would sound like, the sicha, the talk, I can't call it idle talk, but the talk of the servants of the patriarchs is more beautiful to Hashem than the Torah of his children. Sha'arei parasha shel Eliezer kfula ba'Torah. The parasha of Eliezer is double in the Torah. And the Harbe Gufei Torah, like Nitnu El Remizan, so many very important prime facts of Torah are only given in a hint. And here, we're elaborating and talking about all the details over again. But why? Why is Yafesi Chasan Shal Avdei Avos Lefnei Hamakom Mitarazan Shal Banim? Eliezer was a very great person. HaMoishel B'chol Asheloi, that he was Moishel B'Yitzroi. Eliezer was a tzaddik. Eliezer was what the Midrashim tell us, he was the son of Nimrod. So Eliezer was a Cushi. Eliezer was an Eved. He was from the Kanani family, from Cham. Cham, who was Shimesh B'teva. Cham, who, because of him, Canaan was cursed. So Eliezer is from a cursed family. But Eliezer was a tzaddik. He was doyle umashka mitoyres rabbi la'achayrim, as Rashi already brought in Parshas Lech Lecha, damesek Eliezer. In fact, there was even a thought that he would be the heir to Avram Avinu, uven meshek beisi, hu damesek Eliezer. And also, as we see here, that he had a daughter, Eli Ksiv, bas hoyeloyle Eliezer, and he thought that maybe perhaps she would be suitable for Yitzchak. And if he thought that, and if there was even a havamina that his daughter could be Yitzchak's wife, then that means that she was a tzaddikas too. Otherwise, what was the thought? And Avram had to tell them, I'm sorry, but ain't oru medabek b'baruch. Or ain't baruch medabek b'oru, ain't oru medabek b'baruch. I'm sorry. And I was really, she's a tzaddikas, you're a tzaddik and all that, but you're from a cursed family and I'm from a blessed family. The two can't go together. So Eliezer was a very, very great person, no question about it. But the Torah talks about many, many great tzaddikim. And this type of repetition we don't find like we find here. So what is it? There is one other place where we find that the Torah repeats over again in detail. And that's about the Mishkan. There's Truma Tetzava and then there's Vayakel Pekudei. There Rashi doesn't discuss or tell us why. So, if anything, there must be some parallel. The same reason why the Torah felt it necessary to repeat and say over the same things over and over again about the Mishkan, with all the details, where it could have just said, and they made the Mishkan. Go back to Truma Tetzaveh, and you'll see what it is. The Torah goes all over again, with all the details and the measurements of the Oren and the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mishkan and the Kalim and the Yerios and everything else. For what? Why? Clearly, when the Torah repeats something, there's a reason for it. What's the repetition, and what does it have to do with the upcoming month of Kislev and the upcoming Yom Tov of Chanukah? Now, Eliezer did something which the Gemara says he should not have done. The Gemara in Tainus, the Avdalah, the Gemara brings over here, that there were three people who asked or prayed for something not the proper way. They shouldn't have asked it that way. Two of them were answered what they wanted. One was not. And the Gemara tells us here, Eliezer, Eved Avraham, Shaul ben Kish, and Yiftach. Eliezer, Eved Avraham, he said, the Hoya Hanara, he made like a pact with Hashem. Avraham said, I want you to go and find a girl for my son, and she has to be from my family. So he knew it has to be from the family. But it could be many. There are many, many girls, many cousins. He wasn't sure who it was. He wasn't told specifically her name. So Eliezer made a simon. The girl that I say to her, can you please lower your jug and give me the drink? And she'll give me the drink, and she'll give my camels and the camel drivers to drink. So I'll see she's a balas chesed. That's the one that's proper for Yitzchak. The first girl that I see that if I ask her to give me the drink, she gives me the drink, I'll know that's who it is. So the Gemara says he shouldn't have said that, because what if she would have been chigeres, suma? What if she would have been lame or blind? So he would have taken her. The Medrash asks, what if she would have been a mamzeres? What if she would have been a shifcha, a maidservant? He would have taken her. But he was answered kahoygan, because luckily, everything has been a shemayim. The first girl that came was, of course, Rivka, and it's damdaloi Rivka. So Rivka came. Because Rashi says he didn't specify when he asked Hashem, show me the right girl, that she should be healthy, maybe she'll be a balas mum, and Eliezer won't know, and he'll take her anyway. So the Gemara says he shouldn't have asked it that way. Now there are many who learn that the she'ela of Eliezer, which was shaloi kahoygan, goes a lot deeper than that. The Divrei Yisrael has an amazing piece here, the Divrei Yisrael of Majid's beautiful sefer. And he says that the Shal Shalai Kahagan is much more than that. Eliezer, he says, never should have made this siman at all. He should have had total betochen in Hashem and in the schus of Avraham Avinu who sent him, and he's the shliach of Avraham Avinu. And whatever Avraham Avinu says, we'll go, we'll work. All he should have said, a tefillah, yes. Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, hakrin olefonai v'asei chesed. Make it happen that the girl that I should see, the first girl I see, should be the right one. That's it. Don't make any cheshbonos. Don't say she should look like this, she should be like that. That was the Shaila Shalai. There was a sort of a little bit lack of betochen there. Like he had to make sure that she fits the criteria. She has to fit a certain description. He just had to go and believe that the first one he sees is going to be the one, which would end up being that way. Why is he making simonim over here, which some say is a Shaila of Nichush? And he goes further than that. He said, Eliezer didn't only do that. Eliezer actually questioned Avram Avinu. When Avram said, I want you to take a wife from Aram Naharayim, then Eliezer says, Ulai, maybe, Loisoi veho ishol oleches acharai. What if she does not want to follow me? What do? That, says the Divrei Yisrael, he shouldn't have asked. If Avram Avinu tells you to do something, there's no ulai, there's no maybe. He tells you, go and find a girl for my son. And that's where she is. She's going to come. Why are you questioning? Ulai lo yisoyva. So Mefarshim say, because deep down really is he wanted for his own daughters. He was like hoping. The Vilna Gaon says, that's why it doesn't say pen. It says ulai, because pen is a maybe that you don't want to happen. Ulai is a maybe that you do want to happen. Ulai is like halavai. It's like as if he was hoping that she won't come. And then will I be able to give you my daughter? So there were negiyas over here. There was some personal interest over here. So he shouldn't have asked that question. So there are a number of things that Eliezer did that the Sfarim make note that he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have made the whole simon here. He shouldn't have asked the question of ulai leisoy v'ha'isha. He should have believed, he should have had betochen that it'll be exactly the way Avraham Avinu wants and Hashem will bring the girl there immediately, which is what happened. Now, the Medrash tells us, the Medrash in this week's parasha, the Medrash in Chayisara tells us that Eliezer, al yedei, shesheres oisoy tzadik be'emuna, because he served Avraham Avinu with total faith, with total emuna, Yotza miklal orur leklal baruch. He is no longer cursed. He has now removed himself from being orur, and he is now baruch. And Lavan even realized that, because it was Lavan who said it, Vayoyme boy beruch Hashem. He is no longer orur. He is now baruch. So Mefarshim ask on that, why right now? Why over here in the midst of the shlichus, which l'cha'ira, he wasn't so much Mishari's be'emunah, especially as the Divrei Yisrael asks. He was questioning Avram, ulai lo yisai v'ho'isha, maybe she won't want to come. So he's like telling Avram, how do you know it's going to work out? And then he made all these simonim. So where do you see that he was Mishari's Avram Avinu be'emunah, that therefore he should no longer be Orur, and he is now Baruch? But there are those who answer that from here you see. On the contrary, now that he's baruch, so he really has a reason to say, so I'm not cursed anymore. The reason you didn't want to be mashadach with me is because you said I'm orer and you are baruch and we can't be together, but I'm not orer anymore. So you would think he would try to work it out that the shidduch should not work out so that he could now go back to Avraham Avinu and say, you know, I'm baruch now. There's no reason why you can't take my daughter. But he continued and he made sure that the shidduch worked out. So that shows that he was mashareh be'emunah, but that's afterwards. How do we know that he was Mishores Be'emunah before this to say that now he's no longer Orer, he is now Baruch? At the end of the parasha, we have the story of Avraham Avinu marrying Keturah. Who was Keturah? There are different opinions who Keturah was. The Shach Al HaTorah, I just saw this today for the first time, the Shach Al HaTorah, who's from the Talmidei HaArizal. He writes, he quotes a Yalkut in Eiv, that Avraham Avinu married three women, Sarah, Hagar, and Keturah. So he says Keturah was not Hagar. Sarah was from Shem. Hagar was from Chum. Hagar is Paroi's daughter. And Keturah was from Yefes. So Avram married from all the three families of Noach, and he said it had to be that way. You should marry from Shem, from Chum, and from Yefes. Rashi tells us not like that. Rashi quotes the Medrash. It's also Mefurish and Zayar HaKadosh in this week's parasha. That Keturah Zu Hagar. Says Rashi, v'nikreis Keturah, she was called Keturah, al shem she'noim ma'aseha kiktoiras. Her deeds were so beautiful, were so nice, and they gave off a fragrance like the sweet-smelling incense that was offered on the Mizbeach HaKetoiras in the Beis HaMikdash. Noim ma'aseha kiktoiras, and that's where the word Keturah, that's the remez in the word Keturah. The obvious question on this is, noim ma'aseha kiktoiras. Hagar is the one that it says about her that after Sarah tells Avram to kick her out of the house, Goresh ha'oma ha'zois v'yaz benah. I don't want her here. Ki lo yirash ben ha'oma ha'zois and b'niyim Yitzchak. The Pasuk says, we read this last week, v'atelech v'atesa b'midbar be'er shova. She went and she got lost, says Rashi. Lost means chazra l'gilule be'saviha. She went back to idol worship. So how can you say noyim ma'asel kiktoires? And how did Avram take her back? Why did Avram take her back if she's an idol worshiper? Noyim ma'asel, if she's an idol worshiper, chazra l'gilule beis aviha. So how could it be that she's Hagar and yet we're calling her Keturah and we're saying noyim ma'asel kiktoires, but at the same time we know that Hagar returned back to her idols? The name of this parasha is Chaye Sarah. And we spoke once in previous years, more than once, why it's called Chaye Sarah. It doesn't talk about Sarah, it talks about the death of Sarah. But this parasha really is the legacy of Sarah. L'cha'ira, Chaye Sarah would not really be the befitting name for a parasha where Avraham Avinu marries Sarah's rival, who Sarah had asked that she be kicked out of the house. Garei sha'ama ha'zois v'yazbuna, true, Sarah was the shatchim initially. Sarah was the one who brought Hagar to Avraham Avinu, and he said she wanted him to marry her. But not after she kicked her out of the house. You would see him after that. She doesn't want Hagar coming back. But yet, here we learn in the parasha about Yosef Avram, Vayikach Isho Shma Keturah, in the parasha called Chaye Sarah. That's the legacy of Sarah, that Avram marries Keturah. And not only that, but the pasuk says right before this, "V'Yitzchok b'mi boy be'er la'chay ro'i." Where was Yitzchok coming from? Says Rashi, he was coming from bringing Hagar back to his father. Shehalach l'havi Hagar la'Avram aviv she'yisa'ena. Why would Yitzchok be bringing Hagar to Avram when Hagar was an idol worshiper? It seems Chazal Gilulei Be'Savi. Why would Yitzchok be doing that? Many say that Yitzchok was trying to find a shidduch for his father, so in that schus, he'll be zeichet to a shidduch himself. So before even Rivka is brought to Yitzchak, Yitzchak is already bringing Hagar back, and that was a tremendous act of chesed, because you would think he knew what his mother thought of her, and he's going to bring her back to Avraham. All right. But how do we reconcile this? How do we understand this? So the truth is, all of this is answered with one word, and that word is tshuva. That's the power of tshuva. Now, although we're talking about individuals before the Torah was given, nevertheless, this is part of Torah, and anything that the Torah tells us is a lesson for us, even after Matan Torah, the power of tshuva, and how powerful tshuva is, even though normally we say tshuva is only for Bnei Yisrael, it's not for Goyim, which is a separate issue, but the Svarim HaKadoshim talk about this, the Klei Yochar, the Zohar actually, on this pasuk, when it talks about Keturah, it says that Keturah obviously did tshuva. Hagar did tshuva. Avram never would have taken her back if not. And the fact that we call her by another name means she's not the same person. In fact, that's what a Baal tshuva is. A Baal tshuva, Baalas tshuva, is not the same person that he was or she was before. A totally different person, as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva. And the power of tshuva is that it transforms us and makes us a totally different being. And even those that you would think cannot do tshuva, Hagar was a mitzris. Hagar was a shifcha. Hagar was also from a cursed family. Hagar is from Cham. Mitzrayim is one of the children of Cham. Even though it's not Canaan, so not exactly, but it's from Zirmasusim, Zirmasam, Besach HaMoirim, Besorim, Shtufei Zima. We know what Mitzrayim stood for. But Hagar totally transformed herself, and it would seem from this that she transformed herself. She's greater now than she was when she was married to Avram the first time. When she was married to Avram the first time, she wasn't called Keturah, she was called Hagar. And she was still referred to as a Shifcha. She was referred to as an Amma. But over here, Vayosef Avraham Vayikach Isha, he takes a wife, Ushma Keturah, although later it says Pilakshim, Rashi says Pilegesh is Hagar, but that's not a Shifcha. It's not an Amma. She also went through a transformation. She went from being cursed to being blessed. She became a Baalas Shuva. That's why she's compared to Ketores. Ketores, as the Klal Yoker tells us, Ketores is 11 ingredients where one of the ingredients has a foul odor, Chelbana. Chelbana begematria Haman, as the Svarim tell us. And that foul odor, that ingredient with a foul odor, mixes with the other 10, and all of it smells wonderful, smells beautiful. We turn around the chelbana, and it becomes sweet. And that's the concept of tshuva, where we take averis and turn the averis into mitzvahs. As the Gemara says in Yuma Pei Vav, tshuva me ahava has the power to be mahapech zdoinois to zechuyois. Averis become mitzvahs. So the person that, even though in his past he did averis, he is now a total different human being. Or as the Gemara says, b'mokem shabalei tshuva oimdim, true balei tshuva, ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim lamoid. So therefore, it's not a contradiction. How could you say about Hagar, no'im ma'aseha kiktoires, when we know chazra gelula lebeisaviyah, she did tshuva. Vayosef Avraham. And Avraham added, Avraham was moisef. The Zohar HaKadosh says here that Avram was zeicher to a higher level, an neshama from a higher level, that he was able to be mashpia even on Hagar. He was able to be mashpia on lower level people and bring them back too, who before he could not. Like Chanukah. Chanukah can be machzir lemutav. Those who Yom Kippur can't. Chanukah is the Vayosef. Chanukah is Moisef V'Hoylech. The whole Yom Tov of Chanukah is you add every night another Neir. Vayosef Avraham. Vayikach Isha Ushma Keturah. That Avraham Avinu was Zoichen now to a Hoysofa in Kedusha, where he was able to be Mashpia, where till now he could not. The Zohar HaKadosh says it on this puzzle. A higher level of Tshuva, in other words. Who else did tshuva in this week's parasha? So the Divrei Yisrael says a novel approach here, which I haven't seen this in any other sefer. And he says, and this is the reason why the Torah repeats everything that Eliezer did over again. He says the whole story. And he answers many, many other questions with this idea. And he says that Eliezer did tshuva. So not only does Keturah, does Hagar do tshuva in the parasha here, we learn about the power of tshuva with Hagar and Keturah. The same thing happens with Eliezer. He says, Eliezer hischaret al kol zeh. He had charata for all that we spoke about before, that he asked Shalai Kehoigim, and he shouldn't have made the deal with Hashem. He should have had betochen. And he never should have asked Avraham Avinu, ulai lo yisoy veho isho lecha sacharai el oretz hazois. He did tshuva. And vihine yodua, he says, that someone who does tshuva has to confess by mouth, orally, and he has to be mefaret es chato'ov. So here's where he says it. Zehu ha'inyan ha'parsha kfulo shel Eliezer. The reason why Eliezer is repeating everything, and what the Torah considers it important that we know this, and the Torah, it's part of Torah, because this was the vidui of Eliezer. His vada bepiv, uparat es kol dibu v'dibu. He said over what he asked, and he shouldn't have. And this question he shouldn't have said, and he shouldn't have made this deal. And he was chayzer b'tshuva for every detail, for every word. And for us, we wouldn't think that it's so terrible what he did, but for a person on his madrega. V'hina yodua, he says that someone who does tshuva has to fast. He said, that's why Eliezer said, loy oichal ad abdibarti devari. I'm not going to eat until I finish speaking. I'm not eating until I finish doing tshuva. He was fasting. And he goes through here with this theme that that's what Eliezer was doing. Eliezer was being chayza b'tshuva. Eliezer was teaching us how we're doing tshuva. So right away he was mischaret. Could be, while learning this today, it hit me that perhaps this is why, something also very strange, that Eliezer, when he meets Rivka, he doesn't first ask her who she is and what's her name. Right away he gives her the jewelry. Says Rashi, La'achar shenosan lo shoal. Later he switches so that they shouldn't think that he was crazy. He switches it. He says he asked her first and then he gave her the jewelry. Perhaps that was also out of humility. We'll see why in a moment. But he asks, he doesn't ask her. He first gives her the jewelry. L'fishoya batuach b'schusoy shel Avraham shehitzliach HaKadosh Baruch Hu darkei. He was confident. What's the pshat? He was confident. So because he was confident, so you don't ask. You could still ask and be confident. Someone who's a real Baal B'tochim doesn't ask. I'm sure that this is the one. There's no question in my mind. Hashem, I'm not here to waste any time. Obviously, I'm not going to sit and go through a list of girls. The first one that comes has to be in the Schus of Avram. But as the Divrei Yisrael said, before that, he wasn't so confident because then he was making all these simonim. And he asked, Ulai Loi Seiva Ha'isha. Is a raya that he did tshuva. He just did tshuva. And the way, when someone does tshuva, tshuva's hamishko, you have to go to the extreme. So till now, what was lacking in betochen, he had to show now an extreme level of betochen that he gave her the jewelry before he even asked her any questions. It's an amazing level of betochen. At the same time, when right before this, we have all these indicators that he lacked in betochen. And he said, ulai loy say v'hoisha, because he's doing tshuva now. And the first act of tshuva is, you know what? I didn't do what I was supposed to. I'm not going to ask her any questions. I'm going to have totally betochen. This is the right one. And I'm going to give her the jewelry. Perhaps later when he says over the story, he says it the other way. The pashtus, he says it over the other way. So they shouldn't think that he's out of his mind. How do you give her jewelry before you know who she is? He didn't want to say that he did it because he didn't want to brag about his level of betochen. So he didn't want to say that. So every detail that's being repeated here is Eliezer doing tshuva, being misvada. And there's nothing greater to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than about tshuva. Hashem has a tremendous chavivus, as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, what about tshuva is before Hashem, chaviv v'nechmad, especially someone who fell, especially someone who really fell so low, and he's able to come back, and he's able to be mischaret, and he wants to cling to Hashem, he wants to be dovak in Hashem, but he wants to come back to the great madrigas that he lost because of the averis that he did. Such a person is choviv lefnei hamokim. That's why the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Chanukah that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah chaviva hi ad ma'od. Lashon of choviv. Because Chanukah is tshuva. Chanukah is the Yom Tov when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us another chance that we can do tshuva. Mahadrin and HaMahadrin, B'gematria tshuva, as mentioned before. Chanukah is a repetition, like Parsha Shel Eliezer Kfula. It's a second chance to do tshuva. It's interesting that tshuva has to do with repeat, with repetition, with adding, with doing more, doubling. There's a medrash in Parshas Kedoshim Vayikra Rabba, the Baal HaTanya in Geras HaTshuva, quotes a Tana de Be'e Eliyahu, which we don't know where that Tana de Be'e Eliyahu is. So on the Maram HaKaimus did that Tzeichem Su, this medrash in Vayikra Rabba, which is a lot of the Sfarim quote this medrash. Rav Huna says, if a person was nichshol ba'aveira, chayiv misa b'dei shamayiv. So mayasa v'yichu, what should a person do and live? So im hayon lamed likrois daf echad, koirei shnei dapim. One of the darkei hatshuva is to double what you did before. You learned daf yoimi, so do two daf yoimis. Or you learn the daf once every day, then do the daf again. Do it two times. Whatever you learned till now, double it. Then he asks, what about a person who can't learn? So he should increase in tzedakah. So tshuva is doubling your efforts. Kefel, kafel, mechupol, kefel. And the idea is, as the Sfarim explain, when a person does an aveir, it's like he rips the cord that connects you with Hashem. Every mitzvah connects us to Hashem. When we don't do a mitzvah, we do an aveira, there's a rip. So how do you mend the rip? You have to tie it and make a double knot so that it doesn't rip again. Kefel, you have to a kesher kuffel so that it doesn't rip. You wouldn't have to do that before if you didn't rip it. Once you rip it, you got to go. You got to do more. You got to do double. So tshuva is kefel. Parsha shel Eliezer kfula batayra. It's the union of kefel. Maris hamachpela you have in this week's parsha. Kefel. Chanukah is kefel. It's the second time. Chanukah is the second chance at what we should have accomplished. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. We have kefel. We have another time of the year where we're being revisited. We're being given a chance to accomplish what we did then, and perhaps even at a higher level, because we can go. We can be misaken even the lower levels, like Hagar, like Eliezer Eved Avraham, like Yishmael. We know Yishmael did Shuvah from a pasuk in this week's parasha. Also in this week's parasha. The pasuk says, Vayikbru Aysa Yitzchak v'Yishmael Bonav, Mikan she'asa Yishmael Shuvah. So here we have Eliezer doing Shuvah, according to what the Divrei Yisrael learns. We have Hagar doing tshuva, becoming a different person, a different name. She's no longer considered a maid. She's an isha. Her name is Keturah, Noem Asel, Kikturis. And even Yishmael, even though it didn't affect his children, but it affected him. He died at tzaddik. He did tshuva. The Medrash tells us here in this week's parasha, V'hinei hu oimed al hagemalim al ha'oyim. Eliezer saw, Lavan rather, came running. And Lavan saw Eliezer standing over the camels, by the ayin, by the spring, by the water spring. So the Medrash says here, ma'ayin garmei. Now, literally, what does ma'ayin garmei mean? Ma'ayin garmei means, as the Mepharshim explained over here, he was making a cheshbon. He was trying to figure out who Lavan is, how do I deal with him, what's going to be. And another pshat is Lavan was making the cheshbon, how do I deal with Eliezer? He was making a cheshbon, ayin, he's being ma'ayin. Ma'ayin, like when a person is contemplating, thinking, delving into a matter. So the Divrei Yisrael says, based on the way he's learning pshat over here, is no, that's it means he was being ma'ayin, he was delving into what he just did. He was doing tshuva. He realized that he should not have spoken the way he did. He shouldn't have asked Avram the question that he did. He shouldn't have made the siman. He shouldn't have asked shaloi kahoygim, meaning he was doing tshuva. When we talk about chaye sora, Sarah's life, so Rashi says, Chaye Sarah, kulon shavin l'toiva. Every year of Sarah was good. She lived a perfect life. Vayihiyu Chaye Sarah, meyar shana v'esim shana v'shev ha-shana. Why does it say shana in each category? Loyma l'chosha kol echa nidrash la'atzma. When she was 100, she was like 20 l'chait. Ma bas chof l'chata. When she was 20, she hadn't sinned, because she's not a bar ancient yet, bas ancient. When she was 100, she also had no sins. And when she was 20, she was like 7. Now, the same thing is said about Avram Avinu at the end of the parasha. It says that Avram Avinu was, when he was 100, like 70. And when he was 70, he was like 5, b'loi chet. Now, the obvious question that Mepharshim ask on this is, how could that be? Avram Avinu's first years were not, he wasn't a tzaddik. Until he was either 48, according to one opinion, or 3. Okay, if you say it was 3, perhaps, but the Medrash says, Ben Mem Ches Shonim Hikir Avraham as Boyer. He was 48 when he first recognizes Hashem. The Rambam writes that Avraham Avinu was an idol worshiper just like everyone else was. And until he was 40, he wasn't Makir as Boyer. The Rambam says, Ben Arboyim. We would assume Sarah was the same. I mean, Sarah came from the same family. It doesn't say anywhere that Sarah was different than Avram in that matter. They both were brought up in the same house. They both were brought up in a house of idol worship. So you would assume that Sarah also probably worshipped idols as a youngster. So what do you mean, kulan shavim l'toiv? How is that? Bechlal, to say that a person never ever did a chet in his life, ain't tzadik boris hashiyaseh toiv lo yechta, that's a very, very difficult thing to comprehend. Even the greatest of Am Yisrael, the greatest tzadikim, to say that they never ever did a chait, maybe, but l'chayr by Avram and Sarah, their lives did not start off. Avram Avinu, the Medrash says, "Miyitein tohar mitomei." He was not born at tzaddik. So how do we explain that kulon shavin l'toiva? And the answer is tshuva, the power of tshuva. Again, it's all about tshuva. A person could have sinned most of his life. But if he does a proper tshuva at the end, especially if it's tshuva me ahava, all the averus that he did become mitzvahs. So he never sinned. Tshuva is the only thing that works retroactive. It can change your past. Normally you can't go back in time. It's not possible to go back in time. But with tshuva you could. Because tshuva makes it as if the averus that one did never happened. And you're a different person, you're totally transformed. So shnei chaye sara kulon shavin l'toiva, because when Sarah was makir boira, like Avram, when he was makir boira, they both did a tshuva, and a real tshuva shlema, and a tshuva me ahava. Avram Avinu was the oyhev Hashem, that any averus of the past would totally erase, not only erase, but totally transform. So their entire life. Chaye sara means, from chaye sara you learn, the power of tshuva. The name of the parasha suggests what tshuva could accomplish. Because shnei chayesor, chayesor means kulon shavin l'toiva. How could that be? The power of tshuva. And that's why in this parasha we learn about Eliezer doing tshuva, Hagar, Keturah, Yishmael, and the Torah being marich, lengthy, elaborating all the words and the details of Eliezer's whole trip and everything that he said and he did. Because all of it was tshuva, all of it is vidui, all of it is Eliezer confessing, Eliezer admitting, Eliezer saying that he did wrong. And perhaps this also explains, as mentioned before, when it first happened, the Torah says, Avraham Avinu said, Eliezer said, ulai, maybe, lo yisayva ha'isha l'lecha sacharai elo aretz hazois. When he repeats it, he says ulai without a vav, and as Rashi says, elai ksiv, without a vav, because Bas Hoysaloy Eliezer, he had a daughter, he was looking for an excuse that Avram should turn to him and allow his son to marry his daughter. So Avram said, I can't because you're Orer. Why is this taught to us only when Eliezer repeated the story? At the beginning it doesn't say that. It says Ulai with a vav, and there's no reason to think that it's Eli. So there's the famous vart from the Brisker of The Brisker of writes that sometimes when we do things, we don't realize that there are negias. We don't realize what really is driving us to do it. So when Eliezer asked the question, he didn't think that there was any personal negia. But later he realized, you know, the reason why I really asked that question is because I had a personal interest. So we switched to Eli. But the way we're explaining it, the way the Divrei Yisrael is explaining it, it goes a step further. Really, it's the same idea. Eliezer did tshuva in the interim. When Eliezer said Ulai, he was asking a question he shouldn't have asked. Well, how do you know that he did tshuva? Because he's admitting. When someone does, a real tshuva is when you totally admit and you confess that you did something wrong. He's saying that it was really a lie that I was interested in. He's saying that it was really a lie. The first time around, it's Ulai. First time around, he didn't do tshuva yet. But now that he did tshuva, and we see from the level of betochen that he had that he did that tshuva, that he gave it before he even asked her the question. So now, when he repeats it, he says, I want you to know that I said Ulai because Eli. That's vidui. He's being misvada. The shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka is the yichud of kutcha bericha ushchinte, as the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us. The shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka is the ultimate yichud. The ultimate yichud. Yitzchak and Rivka together built the Bayis Neman b'Yisrael. They built the Jewish home. That's why Eliezer gave Rivka two bracelets that weighed 10 golden coins and a golden nose ring that weighed a beka. And as Rashi explains, what do we have to know the weight of all this? What's Nageya to us? The beka is a remes to the Shikle Yisrael, beka la Golgoilas. The Shnei Tzvidim are the two luchais that have Aseres HaDibrois, Aseres of Mishkolim is Aseres HaDibrois, because a Jewish home is based on Tzedakah and Torah. A Jewish home, this is the foundation, this is what Eliezer was hinting, was telling Rivka in the name of Avraham, that you're going to enter a home together with Yitzchak Avinu and build the future of Am Yisrael. and Yitzchak and Rivka joining together, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu joins together with Klal Yisrael and takes us out of Golus and brings us to the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. And we know that the famous Balaturim at the end of this week's parasha, Al Penei Kol Echov Nofo, which leads us to Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchok. Al Penei Kol Echov Nofo, when Yishmael will fall, and in one medrash it says Paras, that's Iran. Then Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchok, Tzmichas Ben David will take place. And perhaps we're seeing it now. We're seeing the downfall of certain powers in the Yishmael community. Paras now seems to be, there's many demonstrations going on. Who knows, the way things are being orchestrated, Lamayla. Al Penei Kol Echov Nofol is Begamatria Doir Acharoin, the last generation, it's our generation, should be Zaychat Al Penei Kol Echov Nofol, and the Eila told us Yitzchak is Begamatria Hine Anoichi Shaleach Lechem Es Elio Anovi. The Yom Tov of Chanukah is coming. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Oiroi Shel Melech HaMoshiach. Moshiach will have the power to bring everyone back. And that's what Chanukah is. Even those who didn't do tshuva the first time are given a second chance. Chanukah is the second chance. Chanukah is the kefil. Chanukah is the Yom Tov where anyone, even someone who fell into the category of a Hogar or Eliezer Eved Avraham as a Kanani, can totally transform themselves. We find in this parasha not only nefashos that had an aliyah that totally transformed themselves, but also places like the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. The Ma'aris HaMachpelah was first under the domain of Ephraim, and it was in the domain of Ra, and then it was transformed. As Rashi says, Vayakam Sidei Ephraim Tekuma Hoysaloi, Sheyotza Miyad Hedyot Liad Melech. It had an elevation. So in this parasha, Mokoyim is elevated, Nefesh is elevated, and we are now approaching a time where Zman is elevated. Time, even a time like the Yom Tov of Chanukah is purposely in a difficult time, in a time when it's very dark, in a time when the moon is in concealment mode, in a month, it enters a month, Teves, which is the month of Esav, a dark month, Choshech, not from the greatest time. Tishrei was from the greatest time. Kislev, at the end of Kislev, going into Tevis, is not. But that's the whole power of Chanukah, that it can elevate a nefesh that's low, a makom that's low, and zman, time that's not an elevated time, and elevate that time too. And therefore, this is the parasha that we can get the koiches to do that, to transform ourselves, to continue doing tshuva. It's not over yet. And as Mar Cheshvan, Roshem Nun Ches, comes to an end, the Yom Tov of Chanukah, the Nun Ches, Ner Chanukah, arrives for all those neshamas, for all those who still need tikkun. We all need tikkun. We should be zeichet to see Aaron HaKoyim light the menorah in the Bayis HaShlishi. And may we all be zeichet to a tshuva shleima, to the Geula Shleima, in the year that we're in now, of Toshin Pei, Teheshnas Piduseinu, may it be immediately, may we all be Zeuche, to see it with our eyes, V'sechazene, Einenu, B'shuvcha, L'tzion, B'rachamim.